Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Nigel Farage has been accused of echoing Vladimir Putin's justification for the invasion of Ukraine. Speaking to the BBC's Nick Robinson, the Reform leader blamed what he calls an ever-eastward expansion of NATO and the EU.
We've provoked this war. Of course it's his fault. He's used what
we've
done as an
excuse. But we provoked the invasion of Ukraine.
Yes, and very interestingly, once again, 10 years ago when I predicted this, by the way, I'm the only person in British politics that predicted what would happen. Everyone said I was a pariah for daring to suggest it.
Meanwhile, Russia's launched more missiles and drones in an overnight attack on Ukraine. Energy facilities in the country's southeast and west have been damaged, and at least two energy workers injured. Spanish search and rescue teams have gathered again in Tenerife for the sixth day of the hunt for British teenager Jay Slater. Officers have reconvened at rural Deteno Park on the south of the island. And England have slipped to a 7-run defeat to South Africa in the T20 World Cup in St Lucia. From Radio News Hub, I'm Andy Hoyle.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £52 million.
Oh, that calls for a dance. Do you know the robot?
I'm a little rusty.
You've still got it.
Never lost it.
You're a machine.
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
The girl them's killer chick.
Coming up. Colourful celebrates Windrush Day.
As of Monday, 24th of June, Colourful's DAB radio signal upgrades to DAB+. Here's everything you need to know. DAB+ provides better sound quality and gives the best possible listening experience. So please make sure you have a DAB+ enabled radio to listen to Colourful. But there are other ways to listen to Colourful, including on Colourful Player at colourful.radio. Smart speakers, TV, radio player, tune in and others. In these cases, you don't need to do anything. Your listening experience will stay the same. So don't forget, as of Monday 24th of June, Colourful's DAB radio signal upgrades to DAB+. If you have any questions about your DAB radio signal, please call us on 0203 475 4038. That's 0203 475 4038. And choose option 4 from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday.
I never thought of myself as the giving type. But I guess I am. I cook my housemate an extra delicious pot of stew after a long night shift. And I give blood when I can. Investing 1 hour of my time can save up to 3 lives. Like the life of my little cousin, Jace, who suffers from sickle cell. But you wouldn't know that by how cheeky he is. If you're the giving type, please book an appointment at blood.co.uk.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, colourful.com and apps. This is Colourful Radio.
Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
Oh,
Hello, I'm Delia Delore and welcome to this Windrush special. After World War II in 1945, Britain needed rebuilding and there was a shortage of labour, so it invited immigration from Commonwealth countries. For Caribbean people, this news filled them with hope. It was a way to help their families. So when the Empire Windrush docked at Tilbury on June 22nd, 1948, a new life began for many Caribbean and British people. Sometimes we forget about that because we hear so many stories of doom and gloom, but it was a change for everyone. Today's show features snippets of short stories, real ones, emotional ones, stories of those left behind and the people who made the same journey after the Windrush. They talk about how it affected them. These people also felt the frustrations and joys of living in a new country and the satisfaction of being able to send money back home. I was having a conversation with my son recently, and I must admit I was taken back when he told me that he wasn't as familiar with the Windrush generation as I thought he would have been. And we had a wonderful conversation about the importance and why we should celebrate. And I hope that you will by staying with me today. Here's some music to entice you.
London is the place for me. London, this lovely city. You can go to France or America, India, Asia or Australia, but you must come back to London City. Believe me, I am speaking broad-mindedly. I am glad to know my mother country. I've been traveling to countries years ago, but this the place I wanted to know. London, that's the place for me. To live in London, you are really comfortable, because the English people are very much sociable. They take you here and they take you there, and they make you feel like a millionaire. So London, that's the place for me. At night, when you have nothing to do, you can take a walk down Shaftesbury Avenue. There you will laugh and talk and enjoy the breeze and admire the beautiful scenery of London. That's the best for me. Yes, I cannot
picture this. I'm sat on a veranda in St. Lucia. It's hot, and I'm talking to a friend's mom with my aunt, who is visiting from the UK. They just met, but their experiences of being part of the Windrush generation bonded them. You may hear the wonderful Caribbean ambience and dogs barking in the background as Mrs. Audrey, Andrew, and Mrs. Stephanie Gideon and I talk.
The boats, my trip was 18 days.
18 days.
18, but because 18. At the time, we boarded the British Airways from, not as it is now, as a, just like a matchstick, a little square thing. So we boarded the plane from there, and we went to Barbados first. Mm-hmm. We stayed in Barbados for 2 weeks. They said it was one, but I mean they were collecting the people from different areas because they were not enough for one trip. So we boarded there, and then from Barbados we went to Trinidad and Tobago. From there we went to Venezuela. From there we went to I'm not quite sure if it is Curacao, but we went to Curacao as well, and St. Kitts. From there, Jamaica as well, we went there. We went all around. And from there, the boat took the cross to go to through the Atlantic. And then from there, we got to know where we were heading to. Because you're leaving the Caribbean Sea and you're crossing the Caribbean Sea to go to with the Atlantic to get yourself in the United Kingdom, you know. The boat took 18 days at sea. And we did not know what to do. We were already on the boat. And
the boat took longer. I left there in 1959. And on Venezuela.
Oh, Venezuela, yes.
And the boat went to Jamaica. Then it went to Venezuela.
Yes.
From Venezuela, it went back to Jamaica.
Yeah.
Again, and then it went to travel to Goa.
Oh, yes, I didn't go for that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From Goa, we took the train.
Yes.
To Victoria.
Yes, but did you cross the channel, the French?
Well, I don't, at that time, I don't think I would know whether I'm on the channel or not, but I was on the boat.
Yes.
And that boat, Venezuela, traveled from St. Lucia
straight
to Jamaica.
Yes.
Then it went to Venezuela because we offboard the boat there.
Yes.
When we got back, they said they have to go back to Jamaica. So from there, they sailed all the way to Genoa.
Yeah, Genoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there, we got on the train and got to Victoria.
Mrs. Andrew brought out all her passports over the years to show us. She must have had at least more than 10 of them. They were all wonderfully preserved. One of them caught my eye. It reminded me of the first time I had seen my passport, and my picture was in it with my dad's, I think. But the firm squareness of the passport brought me back to childhood, our family gatherings on Sundays, and not being able to go into the front room without my parents. The food, the music, the stories about the Caribbean, the laughter. Gosh, it really brought all those things back. But many people from the Empire Windrush and subsequent journeys made many friends and had many stories to tell. Mrs. Andrew shared a very personal one.
What did you do to entertain yourself in the trip?
Oh, I did not entertain myself on the trip because I was already having a baby in my stomach and I did not even know that.
Oh.
So when we got on the traveling back, we started traveling towards the trip, I said to myself, but I cannot take the smell of the fish or I cannot eat anything. What is going on? Not knowing that I was like that. So when I could not and I was just on apples and I think it's Coca-Cola. I sat in the cabin mostly all the time. When I could not take, I said, no, I have to go to the doctor. Because, I mean, we all had our thing, you know, immunization and thing. But I said, this one is a little bit thing because, I mean, I've had children before, but what kind of thing is that? So I went and the doctor did not tell me I was, but gave me maybe a C thing, you know, for seasick. And I went back to the cabin.
The
only money I had in a wallet was £5. By the time I go to the cabin and come back, go to the doctor and come back to the cabin, it disappeared. So I did not have any money at all. And when I never left that cabin until the boat reaches straight to England.
Yo. Catastrophic years, talking about quit gear. I need a little ounce of life, yeah. Scaremongers, I'm from among us too. Families from left to right. I got a finger here next to my index bear. I use it just to speak in my ear. I'm
just Windrush, baby. No time for complaints. So meet me on the streets at night. What do you need? I like my sugar with a bit of weed. Heavenly. I need a dance, I need a cheat. Have a laugh and persevere. Just meet me on the streets at night. I'm just a Windrush, baby. We're little bits of crazy. But I just have a good time. Whatever you need for facilitating. Whatever your simulation. No need to think twice or why. I'm just a Windrush, baby. We're little bits of crazy. But I just have a good time. Whatever you need for facilitating. Stimulation, no need to be in twice or mommy came over from the Caribbean. What a beam. Winning adversity, face of adversity. I hit the shebeen just to ease the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now the love is gone from the street. Can you not see it? Just leave it to the Windrush, baby. It's time we reclaim it. So meet me in the streets at night.
Because nothing is fundamental. We need to our identity. Our Jamaican young people then, their identity was the music. And that link our language to
our home. I'm just a Windrush, baby. We're little bit surprising. But I'm just a good time. Whatever you need for simulating. Whatever your simulation. No need to be in twice or I. I'm just a Windrush, baby. We're little bit surprising. But I'm just a good time. Whatever you need for simulating. Whatever your simulation.
Coming to Britain from Jamaica was not easy for me. As far as I was concerned, British blacks were lost souls. So what kept me going and what is really important is the values taught to me by my grandmother. But I hope one day you will get those values, because you haven't got them yet. Some of the things you do still show to me that you haven't got those values that my grandmother passed on. And that is what is happening to the black community. We have let go of the very strong values that we used to have.
The Empire Windrush was built in Germany and launched in Hamburg on the 13th of December 1930, but its original name was the MV Mount Rosa. In May 1948, the Empire Windrush docked in Kingston, Jamaica, and arrived in the port of Tilbury, England, on the 22nd of June. It had taken 492 Caribbean migrants across the Atlantic Ocean to the UK, promising prosperity and employment. But as you probably know, it took a while before this was achieved, especially for women. Housing was a big deal in Prime Minister Harold Wilson's 1964 and 1966 administrations. The 1964 manifesto was replete with housing proposals.
But on the other thing is, I think how we got better, it was when the Labour Party came in and then, what was his name again? No? He was very popular and he won.
Kinnock.
Oh?
Kinnock.
Mm-mm.
Before Kinnock.
Mm-mm. Oh, long before.
Yeah.
What was his name again? He used Wilson. To wear a. He used to have a pipe.
Wilson.
Churchill.
No.
No, Wilson.
Harold Wilson. Wilson. Harold
Wilson. Wilson. Yeah.
He opened the gates when he came, and he had a white document that states that they have to accept us and give us what we need, because where we've traveled from and who we are. He was the one who did that. And when they wanted to stop people from coming from the Caribbean, he said, no, as long as they're able to work. That was on the white letter.
I was renting. My husband never wanted to buy a place in London because everybody's got their different views. But as a woman, I went to the bank. And they would not allow me to. They would give me a loan.
No.
Because they said I will not be able to pay because I could get pregnant.
Yes.
And so I could never ever succeed in buying a home in London, mm-hmm. because I want to say the right thing. If they're not allowing you as a woman mm-hmm. to buy a property, mm-hmm. well, your husband, yeah, I know what I wanted to say now. Then women start protesting about it.
Yes.
In the 70s.
Yes.
And then in 1977, 78, they allow women then to purchase a house.
Yes. Because you see, the thing is, it was just like before, your husband has to be the head of the and whatever the husband says, that's why Otto had to go by. But the women got their freedom afterwards, according to law, to buy their own property separately. So they can buy their own property separately with their name.
But I don't even think it's the husband, because if you, as a woman, want to buy a house, your husband should not be included, because the bank, the people are stopping you. The bank is stopping you from buying.
No, you cannot blame them, because the thing is...
No, but they won't give you a loan.
No, but they cannot give it to you because the husband is the head of the...
It is true. Mm-hmm. It is true, the husband is the head. I agree with what she's saying.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you prove to the bankers that you can afford to pay mm-hmm. your way, mm-hmm. they should allow you to buy mm-hmm. a house.
They should, but they didn't.
The experiences of going to England mm. have not stopped you from wanting to return to St. Lucia.
No.
Now that you're home mm. in St. Lucia, how would you describe
the difference between the two?
Yes.
Well, I cannot... What can I say? St. Lucia is our home, and we always thought of St. Lucia. Well, you see, all the time we went in England, we never stopped mentioning. And I don't think a lot of people who went, you know, to England stopped feeling their home back then. But we must understand that the way we left St. Lucia, it's not the same. And this is the mistake that we made. Because in England, everything is, you know, up to standard. Rules, regulations, it's not who you know, who you don't know. Everybody is in the same bracket. That is the rule in the United Kingdom. But in St. Lucia, you have who you know and who knows who you know. So you see, that brings a breakdown there between that, because you expected St. Lucia would be the same place like when you were there before. But no, it has changed. And another thing is, I would not change we did how many years? 40-something years, almost 50 years in the United Kingdom. I cannot change that, because I was about 20 years. So how can I change that? You understand? How can I change who I am now? I can't. Mm-hmm. Because I know it is St. Lucia, I am there with the people, but I cannot change, because I've spent more time in the United Kingdom to discipline you, to da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, name it. It is there. And the law is there.
When I left here as a young girl, age 16 and a half, I always said I will only spend 5 years.
That's what we say. We all say that.
5 years and come back to St. Lucia. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, when you get there, there are other things happening. You have children, you know, and you get accustomed to the living.
But it is true.
Which is at the time better than you being back to your country. Mm-hmm. So I think that encouraged you to forget for a while. Never forget your country, but at the same time to concentrate more where things are better.
Yes.
Because at that time it was better for me to be, when I get used to the place, mm-hmm. because somehow, although people were still so prejudiced, when you were accustomed among people you know, life was different. Mm-hmm. So it encouraged you to stay in London longer.
That's what I'm saying.
And to help your family mm-hmm. you know, back home.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's touch a bit about music, because the show also touches on music. Mm-hmm. What was the kind of music that was played during those times, whether it's when you were leaving St. Lucia on the boat, coming to England?
Leaving on a black train. Don't know when I'll be back again. I can.
And then we started the people who came to see the boat.
I can remember that.
To in the boat.
No.
They are crying on the thing, you know, because once you hear that tune, everything falls down.
It was very sad. Very sad.
When I took the plane myself, the British Airways small plane in those days, and I'm sitting where the window is, and I saw my grandmother with my two other children. I said, when you hear the tune, when and if you will ever see them again, I thought, I wanted to stop the plane.
They used to play on the boat. Let's twist again. This type of music.
Yes.
And a lot of reggae.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go.
Have you thought about what happened to the Empire Windrush? Well, in 1954, after a fire on board, it sank in the Mediterranean Sea. Four men were lost while bringing home 1,500 servicemen from the Far East. But its 1948 journey will never be forgotten. The ship and its passengers have a symbolic status as the start of the Windrush generation.
About the times I won't have to say.
Do you think it's important that the children of today know about the Windrush and all the other boats?
Why? No, because the thing is, if you did not travel with the Windrush and thing, what could you say about who you would be? Who would you be? Because the improvement that we got from the Windrush, it was hard. It was harder than us because we went after the Windrush. It is the Windrush, yes, but the people that went the first time in 1949, they really got the blows.
Oh babe, I hate to go.
Here's living legend Chubby Checker.
Come on, everybody, clap your hands. Oh, you're looking good. I'm gonna sing my song. It won't take long. We're gonna do the twist, and it goes like this. Come on, let's twist again, like we did last summer. Yeah, let's twist again, like we did last year. Yeah.
while we focus on the 75th anniversary of the Empire Windrush's journey to Britain, what happened to those who were left behind? Barrel Child by Pamela K. Marshall provides a fictional account of the struggles families go through when mothers are forced to emigrate in search of economic opportunities so they can provide a better life for their children. Many books tell stories of abandonment, and anger screams loudly and still lives on. Another author, Tony Fairweather, heard many stories of abandonment and anger while he was researching for his book, £28, 10 Shillings, A Windrush Story. While you were researching and doing readings of your book, £28, 10 Shillings, A Windrush Story, did you hear any stories about the people who were left behind?
Yes, I did. There were very sad stories of children who were left behind and when they were 5, 6, 7 years old and maybe 10 years later were sent for. And when they got to England, they didn't connect with the family, the new family they found when they arrived in England.
Now, you talk about they didn't connect, but in your book, I recall the word abandonment.
Yes, that word was used a lot when I spoke to what we some people term as barrel children. They felt abandoned. The word barrel children comes from the fact that barrels were sent home to the children that were left behind with clothes and food and money to keep them going until their parents saved up enough money to send for them. They did feel I spoke to some people who are in their 70s, and you can still see the hurt in their eye when they talked about it, about their mums are feeling abandoned, feeling left. They were left with their grandparents or relative who wasn't very nice to them. So there's a whole story or a branch of the story of the Windrush generation that needs to be looked at. And I feel there are some traumatized adults still left over from those days who never resolved how they felt and the way they felt their parents treated them.
But did they understand the reason why, even though they felt abandoned?
The message I seem to see from them is they're too young to understand. All they know is they had a mum and dad and they left them. So everything else didn't make sense. As one woman said to me, why would they leave me? I'm their daughter. Why would they leave me? She kept saying to me, but everything I said back to her, she kept back saying to me, why would they leave me? And I didn't have an answer.
In a way, there's a good and bad in all of this because, yes, I can see the reasons why they would feel abandoned, but didn't it give them closer relationships with the people they lived with? Most of the time it was the grandmother or the extended family. Did that not give them cherished memories?
It did depend what sort of relationship they had. Some were, stories I heard, they were quite brutalized by the parents, the grandparents, who didn't particularly want them there. Some of the parents gave them to another relative, an auntie or uncle, who used them as like domestic slaves almost, to fetch and carry water and do things around the house. So there's very few stories I've heard of people who were left and they were nice. There's always an undercurrent to all the stories I've heard of people being left behind in some way or fashion. There is an undercurrent there.
Through the people you've spoken to, have you heard any secondhand stories of perhaps people saying, well, I didn't go on the Windrush, but this is what I heard, or I didn't go on the Windrush and I really feel that I missed out, or I didn't go on the Windrush and I didn't miss anything. I'm glad that I stayed.
Yes, I'm talking to you now from Jamaica, and I'm staying with some friends, my relatives, and they were telling me about their parents who were going to go on the Windrush, and they bought the ticket and they decided not it wasn't for them, and they gave back. They went back and got their money back. So not everybody wanted to go. Everybody had their different views of why. And they're glad they stayed behind because they made life for themselves in Jamaica and have done very well. Who knows what would have happened to them if they went to London. It was, remember, the time this all happened. It was after the war when Jamaica was on its knees and England was on its knees. There had been no trade with Jamaica during the course of the war. So jobs were scarce, minerals were scarce, money was scarce. So when you get an invitation from the King of England to come to London and you'll make more money in 1 month than you would in 1 year in Jamaica, you're going to jump on that boat.
You've been on tour with your book. What's been the outcome?
It's been really interesting. I've gained more stories about the Windrush. People are willing to share their stories with me, or their mother's story, their great-grandmother's story. And it's been, especially coming to Jamaica, it's been seeing the other side of the coin and meeting some of those people you talked about who were left here. So I've met two people who were left here. And hearing their side of the story. The Jamaicans are slowly getting around to the Windrush and seeing it for what it is, as part of their history, and realizing that the Windrush generations put money into the economy by sending money back in those blue airmail letters. They bought land and built properties built off the back of the money earned in London. And this was echoed in other places like Trinidad and Bermuda and Mexico, all the ports where the ships docked at. Money was sent back to all these places and it helped to build an economy. So it's been an educational being in Jamaica, especially going to the Kingston Harbour and seeing where the ship left and talking to one or two elders who were children at the time. It's been a real education, and I hope I can take some of that knowledge back to me to London and spread that to our community.
So much reminiscing has led me to a song I heard at all parties in the 70s. Do you remember this classic?
Music gives a type of feeling we just can't explain. Hit me with music if you're willing. I really like the pain. Music's made out some vibrations. It's really a fact. If you want to prove what I mention, watch musicians react. I can feel it, Hit me with music. Hit me with music. Hit me with music. Brother, don't stop it. Oh, no. When you get up in the morning or before you go to bed, music you will hear vibrating must pull up your head. This time when you're tired and lonely, you can't rest nor eat.
As I go, here's a favourite that still pulls crowds on the dance floors. Millie Small and My Boy Lollipop. Thank you for joining me this Windrush special. Keep celebrating. I'm Delia Delore. Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Colourful celebrates Windrush Day. Windrush Day.
Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountain top, I took a trip on a sailing ship, and when I reached Jamaica, I made a stop. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way, won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around, I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Sounds of laughter everywhere and the dancing girls swaying to and fro. I must declare my heart is there, though I've been from Maine to Mexico. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way, won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around, I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Down at the market you can hear ladies cry out while on their heads they bear. Ackee rice, salt fish are nice and the rum is fine any time of year. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way, won't be back for many.
Travel and movement into the UK, particularly migration, has always been a problematic issue for specific groups of people who have chosen to settle here. The recent Windrush scandal highlights the ongoing challenges relating to identity and belonging, made me think about what my grandparents endured with migrating from Grenada in the West Indies to England. My great aunt, as with the ladies and gentlemen who contributed to this piece, left their homes in the 1950s and chose to settle here for opportunity and a quality of life better than what they'd left behind. Each individual account takes you on their personal journeys and experiences of leaving home in the tropics for the cold streets of England. I invite you to enjoy my collection of stories entitled Windrush.
St. Patrick, 8 years old. I'm in this country 54 years. Arrived in the UK in 1961, February the 15th, and I come here to join my husband. I felt terrible when I had to leave home because I had left my two kids behind, and it was not very easy to leave them, but coming to join my husband, so I had to leave them and be with him. I didn't expect anything that I didn't hear about coming to the UK. I know it was cold. I know it was different culture and, let's say, different races. So I make my mind up for anything that I, you know, find in this country. I didn't have a problem mixing with any other country people, or race, or religion, or anything. I know what it was all about.
My name is Melanda Henry, and I'm from Jamaica. And I came to this country in the 50s. And ever since, I've been working until I retire. And when I going to get retirement, the Queen said, well, you work very hard in this country and good service too. So I'm a British Empire medal. Well, I just choose to come to the UK for a better life, better living.
A bit thick, what?
Britain's worst fog in years, a real Victorian pea super, followed up by wintry onslaughts of rain, ice, and slashing winds, has the United Kingdom talking about the weather a bit more than usual.
At first, when I reach a shepherd's bush green, and see the bushes in the green there, and how cold it was, I said, what have I done to myself? Leave the sunshine and come now, woodland, come a freezing, frozen. Yeah.
Come to England on a boat, and I had a rough time. When I come to England, I couldn't see where I'm going because all the fog. It was dark night. They say, you reach in England? I said, no. I said, I want to go back. I can't see where I'm going, and cold and freezing. My reason for coming here, because my hubby sent for me, and we get married and have children, but they didn't want no children. Maybe they want one, but I have six. But I didn't expect to see all the snows and everything on the ground, dark. You can't see where you're going, you know. So I used to stay and cry, you know. I used to be sad.
My name is Renick Charles. I'll be 88 soon. I left Trinidad to come to England on the 9th of July 1958. The reason I could tell you the date is because on the 13th, when I have 4 days on the sea, I had my birthday. Well, it was very sad to leave, but when you are a young man growing up and you haven't got any job in your own island, you have to seek job where it is. And that is the reason why I am come to England. That is one of the reasons. My wife came to meet me in England. I did get married in Trinidad, not here.
Let's say the British people is the one that didn't really want, let's say, black people in this country.
The simple fact of the matter is that we do not have sufficient houses, jobs and schools for our own people, let alone immigrants, be they black, brown, yellow or green. It simply boils down to a question of numbers.
Well, of course, there are far too many immigrants in this country. When will the public wake up to the fact that you cannot put a quart into a pint bottle?
I didn't have any bad treatment coming here because, like, it's different color. It's black and it's white. And I know, like, the white people, they would look at you as a black person because they don't really used to black people. And I keep my color, you know, I know I'm black and they white. So I have no problem with that because prejudice is something that is everywhere. It's even in our own color. So I was not, you know, thinking of being as the white and I'm black, that, you know, any segregation between us. I was quite happy in that way because I don't get in their way, they don't get in my way. I never had no problem with anyone saying, oh, you're black, this, are you black, that. No, I didn't have that.
The British people was not quite happy about black people coming to this country. Teddy Boys then was in operation the day when we came to Jamaica, from Jamaica to Great Britain. When I was going to school, my teacher always told me about Great Britain. And when we come here, it's a shock to me. I thought it would be a better off country. I thought it would be far way better off than what it is.
You get good and bad. Some people like you, some don't like you. Don't like the blacks, especially if you have children. My dad, no dog, no cat. No dog, no Irish. Yeah. My landlady, I had a rough time, but I couldn't have a bath. She locked the bath. I can't go in the bath and have a bath. I stay and cry. Then she give notice for me to go. I go by the next one, and I come out to the fire and jump in the frying pan. And I had it very hard, very, very hard, up to this days, you know. But I get to like it.
London is the place for me. London, this lovely city. You can go to France or America, India, Asia or Australia, but you must come back to London City.
You know, coming to England is a great experience. We had our ups and downs, some good, some not so good. We had our clashes racially with the Teddy Boys. We had our clashes with renting situations with so many citizens in this country. And of course, we have many difficulties sometimes coping with the conditions of this island, because our island was much different in the way of living. When I had my first boy in this country, I was being told no children, and I was being cast out because of certain conditions. You expect this when people don't know you very well and they are getting in contact with you and they want to know you and they feel you're coming to take their country. But I love England very much. I don't come to take the country. I come to work here and to build the economy of this country. That was my purpose coming to England. And also to improving my general education. And that was a very nice thing to do for any human being.
The weather was not like here. It was horrible winter. From now, November month, it's cold, foggy and everything. But now you don't see fog. And it's not, I wouldn't say it's that cold. So the weather had changed, the British people had changed. So there is a lot of changes in this country to when I first came here. I wouldn't say I have any potency like back in the Caribbean. Number one, my mother is not there no more. And I have all my family here, my grandchildren, my children. I'd go back to visit, like I still have relative there, but it's not an important day for me. I quite like it here. I enjoy being in England. So I don't see myself going back.